All right, hello, welcome to another Expert Inside interview. My name is John Golden from Sales Pop, online sales magazine, and Pipeliner CRM, joining you as usual from San Diego. And today I am delighted to be joined by Benson Portogo, who is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas. How are you doing, Benson?
I am doing excellent, John. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Oh, absolutely. And Benson's an investor, author, and founder at Consistent Profit Tree, and author of the book you can see over his shoulder there, The Business System That Never Fails. And what we're going to talk about today is how to overcome fear in business. So Benson, let's bottom line this to begin with. What do you think are some of the major fears that people have, either when they're running their own business or whether they're in business with others?
When it comes to sales, and I know you are the sales POP guy, when it comes to sales, one of the fears I've seen, whether it's salespeople, business owners, entrepreneurs, is the fear of rejection. They are afraid that if they present their product or service to a prospective client, they are going to say no. And since many people are afraid of being rejected, it kind of just paralyzes them from even trying to go out there and talk about the product or service.
So how do you overcome the fear of rejection? Because, I mean, that's part of sales. I talked to somebody yesterday who said that when you get a no in, when he gets a no, he looks on that as an opportunity as opposed to a rejection.
Absolutely. I'll go with something that the late great Zig Ziglar used to say, that when you talk to people about your product or service, and they say no, he said, interpret that to mean they don't know enough. So instead of N-O, you should say, okay, they don't know enough, K-N-O-W, and then it's your job to look for a way to educate them so that they can know enough to get to a place where they will be able to say yes. And that is, if the people that you are talking to, they are qualified to use your product or service. As a matter of fact, there are some people that when you talk to them and they say no, that's really a good thing, because they save you a lot of time, energy, and money, and you can move on to look for the right people. If I'm selling ice and I come across an Eskimo, and the Eskimo says no to my eyes, I'm going to be very glad, you know, that they said no. Because if I keep trying to convince the Eskimo to buy my eyes, it's just going to be a lot of time wasted. On the other hand, if I'm selling eyes and I meet somebody who is stranded in the Sahara Desert in Africa, boy, I'm going to persuade that person to get eyes, so I can quench their thirst.
But the thing is, no, absolutely, I agree 100%. But as you said, I mean, the problem is sometimes we stick too long with the wrong profile of customer or prospect, and we think that somehow we can persuade them, as opposed to just what you said is, you know, taking it as an opportunity to get out and get in front of the right customer. So how do salespeople start to address the fear of rejection? Because I agree with you. I mean, it's a big one. It's inherent in the sales job, but it's constantly there. So how do people start to overcome that?
I will draw from my own example. Again, you can tell from my little bio there. I have a background as a former pastor before I got into business. And as a pastor, you just go and deliver the sermons. You don't worry about if people are going to receive it or not, because people come to church at least every Sunday, so you have a captive audience. When I moved into doing business after business school, I really hated the idea of selling because I had the wrong mindset that selling is manipulating people to collect money from them. So I didn't want to do that. So I had the resistance of going out there and actually selling. But one day it really occurred to me that selling is really the distribution of solutions.
Right.
People have problems. I have solutions, and I should be proud and enthusiastic to go out there and distribute those solutions if I really love the customer. Because if you love somebody and you discover that the person has cancer and you have the cure for cancer, it'll be wicked for you to keep that cure from the person who has cancer and you allow the person to die. That demonstrates that you don't love that person. So when I began to see sales as the distribution of solutions, not the manipulation of people to take money from them, it gave me a lot of boldness. And then when I also developed the love for my ideal client, I began to feel empathetic for them, and I didn't want them to go for a long period of time without receiving the solution to the problem they are going through. So those two things really gave me the boldness to go out there and present the service that I offer to people, knowing that I am really distributing a solution, and it is a demonstration of love to relieve these people from the problem that they have. So those two things really gave me the bonus. Not that I've not been rejected or, you know, everybody has been saying yes. But every time somebody says no, I am encouraged to go back and talk to them if they are the ideal customer, to look for a different angle of presenting the same service in an effort to really help them. And over time, that has really worked, because research also shows that at any given point, about 95% of people who need a product or service, they are not ready to buy.
Right.
So only about 5% are ready. So keeping that in mind also, when I talk to somebody that is ideal and they say no or they don't show a lot of interest, I just say, well, they are part of the 95. So let me keep the relationship going. Over time, they will come around. And that has happened. That has turned out to be true.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things I wanted to pick up on there, Benson, is the first one that you said is like we're changing our mindset. And I think that is probably the most critical thing is you need to be excited about the product or service that you're offering. You need to believe in it. You need to have seen how, you know, the benefits of it. And to your point, then you need to be excited to bring those benefits to the right people. But that takes, you know, as you said, that takes a mindset shift, and that takes for you to really believe in your product, because I think it's hard to sell something if you don't believe in it.
You're right. You're right, John. And that's why I encourage everybody who is running a business, who is in sales, to make sure that before they commit to sell something, they are not going to sell it because they want to make money, even though money is going to become a byproduct, but they want to sell it because they really believe in the transformation their product or service is going to bring to the ideal client. So once that belief is there and you know that that product or service is going to transform their lives, then it really gives you that courage to go out and sell it. So every time I talk to a business person and I see them hesitant to sell, I ask them that question. I said, do you really believe in the transformation your product or service is going to bring in the lives of people? If you don't, then change your business model or change, look for a different problem to solve. And if you're a salesperson, if you don't believe that, you know, look for a different company to represent that you really believe in the transformation your product or service is going to bring to the ideal customer. That will give you the bonus to talk about it without, you know, feeling some hesitation. Because, John, the reality is, if you doubt your product or service, every time you are talking to a client, you are going to project that doubt on them. And if they are already skeptical, and you are also skeptical of your product or service, so you bring double skepticism in the presentation, nothing is going to happen.
Yeah, no, you're correct. And it's interesting because, you know, anytime I come into contact with the salesperson, that's kind of one of the first things that I try to pick up on is how much do they love their product or service? How much do they love working for the company they work for? How much do they really believe in it? I want that. And that's what I want. I want that kind of energy. I want to believe. I want to be as excited as you are about your product.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's Zig Ziglar or somebody else who brought out this quote that enthusiasm is infectious. Mm-hmm. So if you're enthusiastic about what you're talking about, it's going to infect the other person, you know, as a virus in a good way. I know we are in the pandemic era. So I'm not talking about bad virus. Yeah, I'm talking about good infection.
You know? Yeah. We could do with some good viruses.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing, Benson, too, is, you know, mind shift change requires some self-reflection as well, some self-awareness. And I think that's the other thing is for salespeople, and it kind of goes for anybody, not just salespeople, it's maybe taking a step back for a moment and asking yourself, what's your purpose? Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you just doing it for a paycheck? Or what is the purpose of what you're doing? Because I do feel that most people haven't ever stepped back and asked themselves that question: what is the actual purpose of what I'm doing?
You are right, and I used to say that, you know, anything that any of us is doing, if we are not motivated by the love of the people we are serving, then it's going to be very difficult for us to find purpose in what we are doing. So if I assume that you are my ideal client, John, I have to first of all develop a sense of love for you as a person, so that whatever I'm presenting to you, I am very sure that it's going to benefit you. So it's going to give me that sense of purpose, you know, to talk to you about that product or service. So you are very right that when purpose is attached to it, it changes the whole dynamic as to how I am going to talk about, you know, that product or service. And if I really love you as my ideal client, I am going to be willing to sacrifice the possibility that you might say no, you know, to me, because any parent out there knows that, you know, if you are changing a dirty diaper for your child, you might not like the smell of that diaper, but you're still going to change the diaper anyway because you love your child, and you're not going to allow the child in that dirty diaper. You're not going to worry about the way they react towards you or anything like that. You're going to allow the love you have for that child to overcome all of those things, and you'll still be able to serve that child despite, you know, the things that are surrounding the dirty diaper analogy that I'm giving here.
Yeah. And the other thing too, I think, Benson, it's really critical nowadays is that people want their salespeople to be authentic. They want to be able to trust them. They want to, you know, have more, I think, of a human relationship than perhaps even before the pandemic, when things were getting very automated. I think there's a real hunger now for authenticity and connection.
Absolutely. And when we are authentic, it's easier to build that trust. I mean, John, you and I know that it's difficult for anybody to buy anything from you. Buy anything from me or any salesperson out there if they don't trust us. And the reality is that the more authentic we are, the easier it is to be trusted. If I am a dog and I think that you like cats better than dogs, and then when I'm talking to you, I try to mirror instead of barking, it's not going to be long for my real self to come out. And then once I start barking, you say, uh-oh, I thought you were a cat before, but really you are a dog. So just go, if you're a dog, just be a dog, you know. Right. And if people who don't like dogs say no to you, that's okay. You are going to eventually find people who love dogs. But if you're a dog, it's a lot of hard work to pretend to be a cat.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, corporate America is spending so much money every year trying to train dogs to behave like cats.
It's a great analogy. It's a great analogy, Benson, because it's true. Because as you said, eventually, who you really are is going to come through. So if you're not authentic, if you're trying to be somebody else, if you're not 100% on the straight and narrow, and you know you bend things a little bit, you know, your trust, you're never, so all of these things are going to come back to bite you eventually. There's no way you can get through a concerted period of time by trying to be something you're not.
Absolutely. So off the bat, just be you, and you know, talk to that person naturally. Listen to them. I was listening to one of your previous who wrote the book on leadership. I think it's based in the UK. And he was talking about, you know, one of the ways to heal mental health is just to listen to people. So if you come to a conversation and your desire is just to be you, and you listen to really hear what the other person is saying and be authentic to make sure that, okay, whatever they are saying or whatever problem they have is in alignment with the product or service you provide. And if it's not, for you to be honest and say, hey, based on what I've heard from you, I don't think our product or service is a good fit for you, but here is this other company that can serve you better based on what I've heard. It's really not that difficult. You know, but when you come and try to pretend and then try to make everything that everybody says, look for a way to fit the round peg in a square hole, then it's just going to be rough down the road.
Yeah, and I think in the scenario that you outlined there, I think as well, if you do that, number one, you have built huge respect or trust with that customer, because you've said, listen, Benson, our product's great, but from what you've told me, it's not going to be a fit for you. But here is this other one that I think will be. That prospect who didn't become your customer will remember you and might actually refer you. They might come across other people and say, oh, actually, I was talking to a guy. They've got the right product for you. So it all benefits the honesty and authenticity. There's so much benefit down the road from it.
Absolutely. And if you put all of those things together, John, it takes away that fear. It takes away that tension of going to talk to prospects, because really, there's nothing to hide. You are really just going to be yourself. You are genuine. You want to help people. That is your purpose. So you really approach any sales situation or any conversation as, hey, I'm just really going to have a conversation with somebody. Yes, I might not have met the person before, but I'm just going to be myself and have some fun having a conversation. And at the end of the day, if I can help this person, then I'll go ahead and help them. If I cannot help them directly, I'll look for a way to help them indirectly with another product or service that I'll refer them to. So it takes away all of that fear, and you can really be you in any conversation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, listen, Benson, this has been fantastic. Great place to finish up here. All of Benson's information is going to be below this video. But before we go, please do tell people a little bit more about you and what you do.
Well, at Consistent Profit Tree, we really help businesses, especially businesses in construction, to increase their profit while working fewer hours. We realize that a lot of them are working long hours and they have little left to spend with their families. So our goal is to bring efficiencies in what they are already doing so they can generate more profit while working fewer hours. So that saves them a lot of time, energy, and money. And it also cuts the length of time it would take a company, let's say, to grow from 2 million to 3. If normally that's going to take them maybe a year or two, our processes help them to cut that time down. So either way, it saves them time on the personal side and time on the business side. So really, that's the gist of the value that we provide.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Benson, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your insight and wisdom today. Thank you all for listening and watching, and I look forward to talking to you all again very soon. Thank you.